The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, this is Chris Connell filling in for Steve on the Steve Noble Show. And it's great to have you guys here with us. I'm a friend of Steve's. Got to know Steve several years ago, back in 2006, 2007. We were working together, an executive team with the Greg Laurie Group, bringing in a harvest event here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area. And I call Steve my equally obnoxious friend. I'm not sure if he calls me that or not himself. But today I'm excited about a covetous topic. Today on the Steve Noble Show, we're talking about erasing grace. I've got a special guest coming in at the third segment. His name is Pastor Ross Verrett, and you who are regular Steve Noble Show listeners may or may not recall praying for baby Emma a few months back or more, and that's their daughter, and she's an infant, has a brain tumor, and God's been doing some amazing things, so I want to have them call in and just share that with us. So we're looking forward to having them in there on the third segment. Erasing grace, what we want to talk about today. If you have any examples or you have a story of how someone forgave you of something extraordinary or you overlook something yourself, I'd love to have you call in and share that. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. What's an example of something in your life of incredible grace and forgiveness that somebody extended to you, or maybe you extended to someone else, and the impact it had on your life? And why do I want to talk about this subject today? Well, the main reason is this, is that I'm 50 years old, born in 1970, and in my half a century of living, and I have had the privilege of traveling around the world, but in my half a century of living here in the United States, I don't personally recall a season in which our culture, our community, the nation in which we live, has lost the ability to extend grace to others. And that's why I'm calling it Erasing Grace. One of my favorite books ever is by Philip Yancey. I'm not real crazy about some of currently where Philip Yancey is on a few issues, but the book is called What's So Amazing About Grace, and it had a huge impact on my life in such a way that I often go back to it and recall it and read it. In the beginning of this book, he tells a story from another book he had going back to a down and out woman in Chicago. And it said, a prostitute came to me in wretched straits, homeless, sick, unable to buy food for her two-year-old daughter. This is, again, Philip Yancey, What's So Amazing About Grace, here on the Steve Noble Show today, talking about erasing grace, how we have lost it in our culture. And this homeless woman came sick, unable to buy food for her two-year-old daughter. Through sobs and tears, she told Philip Yancey she had been renting out her daughter, 2 years old, to men interested in kinky sex. She made more renting out her daughter for an hour than she could earn on her own in a night. She had to do it, she said, to support her own drug habit. I could hardly bear hearing her sordid story. For one thing, it made me legally liable. I'm required to report cases of child abuse. I had no idea what to say to this woman. At last I asked if she'd ever thought of going to a church for help. I will never forget the look of pure, naive shock that crossed her face. Church, she cried. Why would I ever go there? I was already feeling terrible about myself. They'd just make me feel worse. Folks, we're living in a culture here in America, not only that is struggling with so many significant issues, the trial in Minnesota, additional shootings that have happened, unfortunately, but, you know, we are a culture that refuses to overlook an offense. In fact, here are a few of the top 10 most ridiculous lawsuits of 2019, which is, this is from the Chambers Institute for Legal Reform, and it produces this annual list. Here's one lawsuit that occurred in 2019. Woman sues New York City over scary poster promoting Dexter. It was a show about a serial killer. Woman sues New York City, thank you, Seth, over scary poster, right, promoting Dexter, right? So she looks at a poster and it scared her, and therefore she was offended. Here's another one. A woman sued Blistex in 2019 over lip balm packaging, right? She is suing them over their packaging because their package says their product contains 0.15 ounces of lip balm, but due to the way the lip balm is packaged, 11% of it is stuck in the bottom. The plaintiff is chapped about it. What do you think of that? That's a frivolous lawsuit, right? There is a gamer who sued Fortnite over dance competition entry, right? His fellow players, because this one guy became a fan favorite, petitioned Fortnite to use his dance and won. And the rules made it clear that the players weren't going to be paid. And this gamer sued Fortnite over a dance competition entry, right? Can't overlook an offense. We can't give grace. We're erasing grace in our culture. A customer, it looks like, again, in New York City, maybe that's the capital of all these lawsuits, sues Friendly's ice cream over vanilla ingredients, right? Customer's upset that Friendly's vanilla ice cream contains more than plain vanilla. The Friendly's recipe includes ingredients like turmeric and annatto, which comes from the tropical achiote tree. But the customer says it's misleading, so the lawyers are serving up a ridiculous lawsuit called Sunday with an extra helping of unspecified damage as the cherry on top. Yes, someone is suing Friendly's because of the ingredients on their vanilla ice cream. Yeah, that's we are living, folks, in a culture that is erasing grace. We don't want to give grace to one another. And I'm afraid sometimes the churches as well. We've even got a California coffee house who was sued over their warning labels for the drink being too hot. What's happened to grace? Where has it gone in our culture? Why can't we overlook an offense? Let's talk about it in the Steve Noble Show. Chris Connell filling in today, 866-348-7884. If you got a comment or a story about forgiveness that changed your life. Welcome back. This is the Steve Noble Show, and this is Chris Connell filling in for him today. We're talking about erasing grace, and once again, Steve has the best. He has the best intro music I've ever heard, and we're talking about erasing grace. What's happening in our culture? Nobody wants to forgive anybody about anything, overlook any offense. I believe that Seth told me we got Lou from North Carolina's got a story about grace forgiveness. Go ahead and bring him on if you can. Lou, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Thank you so much for calling in. What's your story?
For the first 31 years of our marriage, I ran around on my wife. God called me on it. He required me to tell her absolutely everything that I had ever done. Took me 8 months of daily confessions to do it because there were times that I had forgotten.
Wow.
And he would remind me of those. And my wife has forgiven me for every single offense. She and I, we do marriage coaching and explain to people that you think you can't be forgiven, but no, you can be with God's help.
Wow. Lou, was it easy for your wife to hear those things? I can't imagine it was.
Absolutely not. No, there was yelling and screaming and crying and everything. I mean, she's human.
Right.
But God told her that you have to forgive him. And she did. She was obedient, and she has not ever brought anything of my past back up to me. And that was in 2009 through first part of 2010.
And now you do marriage counseling together?
We're not official counselors. We say coaching. But yes, we do.
You do. That's amazing. When you talk, when your wife tells a story, what enabled her to forgive you, Lou?
God.
What do you mean by God?
Plain and simple. He gave her the strength. In his words at that time, he had placed in her a forgiving heart.
Right.
And he told me, he said, she will not always have this forgiving heart that I have placed in her.
Right.
So in my words of what he had to say, I need to get it straight while I had the opportunity, because I couldn't just go on with my life as I had been leading it and expect to be able to come back, because this is just me, but
right.
I knew that I had that opportunity, and that was my time to make things correct. And so I did.
Wow. Lou, thank you for calling and sharing that story. I appreciate that very much.
Yes, sir.
So, yes, thank you, Lou, for doing that. You know, there's a guy in my church that I grew up in that had a similar story as Lou's. And, Lou, thank you for calling in and sharing that. I believe we have another caller calling in. All right. Hi, this is Chris. You're on the Steve Noble Show. What's your name?
Antoinette.
Thank you for calling in. We're talking about erasing grace, the power of grace through God. What's your story?
Well, 50 years ago, I met my husband. I was 15, he was 16. So we're married 43 years. But anyways,
congratulations.
After 2 years of marriage, in 82, we married in 77.
All right.
In 82, I had a second child, and he broke down and said, I can't take it no more. I got to tell you, I have a girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
So we had been studying the Bible and come to Jesus for a couple of years, and God supernaturally gave me the ability to say, okay, and I forgive you. And, yeah, he was begging for forgiveness.
Wow.
And it was just like, I can do that.
Because, what enabled you to do that, Antoinette? Because not a lot of women can do that.
Well, you know, they can't. But we need to say they can't, because he said we could. So it was supernatural, I believe. It was, you know, it wasn't like throwing in dishes or anything like that. It was, I could see his repentance, and we had these two babies.
Wow.
And there was clearly one way to go.
Wow.
And he did call the girl and tell her it's over. And then after that, it was over.
How's the marriage now?
Because he was repentant. He was doing the right thing.
Right. So how's the marriage now, Antoinette?
Well, we had our chances to get divorced. One, two, three times, but we didn't. And I want to encourage everyone to do like this man before me said. This is a mess. The children are suffering awful. They're just, I had an 85-year-old tell me, I've never gotten over my mom's divorce.
Wow.
She's 85.
Wow.
He told me that 6 months ago.
Wow.
So the culture doesn't get it. They think, I'll be the one that makes it. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
You will not.
Yep.
If you're the man, you'll be the one in the bar by yourself looking for a hot date.
Right.
And if you're the woman, you'll be struggling, and your kids will hate you.
You know,
so,
Antoinette, there's something just so powerful about forgiveness. And I know that what Christ has done for you, right, is probably what empowered you to say, all right, I've been forgiven, therefore I can forgive. And when...
Forgive. then I won't forgive you.
Right. That's what he says.
And I'm not being light about it, you know. He supernaturally empowered me to do it that day. But
well,
many times later we had the life, you know.
Yeah.
To experience grace. And he said, freely give because you freely received.
Amen.
So I'm going to encourage folks to do that.
Thank you, Antoinette, for calling in and sharing that story with us. I do appreciate that very much. You know, folks, those are two powerful stories, both Lou and Antoinette. And I'm talking today about erasing grace. Where is it gone in our culture? Why can no one overlook an offense? And I'm not saying that everybody does, but it seems like nobody is overlooking an offense, even to the point of sharing some funny stories about ridiculous lawsuits, right, that occurred. But Lou and Antoinette called in and said, and this is fascinating to me, one guy calls in and says, I cheated on my wife for 30 years. It took me 8 months to confess it. She forgave me. Our marriage has been restored, and now we're marriage coaches. Antoinette says, my husband was unfaithful to me. Asked my forgiveness. We could have gotten divorced about 3 times throughout our marriage. But, I think she said 43 years. But now our marriage is restored. You see, that's the power of grace. That's the power of forgiveness. But I think our culture, who doesn't follow the Lord, is erasing grace. And we need to set the example of what it means to overlook an offense because Christ overlooked our offenses. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. If you've got a story about grace and how it changed your life, I'd love to hear it. You're listening. You're listening to the Steve Noble Show. He's got the best devil music for a Christian talk show I've ever known. Come on, clap along. I love it. Listen, today on the show, we're talking about erasing grace, and I've got some special guests. I believe they're on. Is that correct, Seth? Are you giving me? And go ahead and bring them on. I've got Ross and Jessica Verrett. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. How about you guys?
We're doing good. I should say Pastor Ross, because you just got licensed, right, as a minister. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Oh, man. Is Jessica with you as well?
Yes, she's here, and so is little Emma Rose.
All right. So,
here.
Jessica, are you? Do you now have to call Ross Reverend? Is he making you call him Reverend around the house? Now that he's licensed in the ministry?
Oh, my goodness. No.
All right. So, listen, I'm having you all on the show because a few months back, I reached out to Steve because you all work with me at Cross Assembly, and you guys are going to be launching our very first multi-site campus in North Raleigh coming up. We hope May 9th, right, Pastor Ross? We hope May 9th. That's the date we're aiming at.
Yeah. By God's grace.
Amen, amen. It's an awesome facility too. But you also have two beautiful children. You have Sammy and you have Emma Rose. And Emma Rose is how old now? How many months old is she?
She's 9 months.
So I don't remember how many months ago you noticed it, but you started to notice a problem maybe with her eyes or something. Is that right?
Yes. When she was about 4 months old, we noticed that her eyes were shaking, and she had a condition called nystagmus.
Okay. What was the diagnosis after that? When did you guys find out about what was causing that?
Yeah, well, we ended up taking a trip to Duke Hospital, and they let us know that after a series of tests and scans that she actually has a brain tumor.
Okay. And is it a kind of a tumor that they can operate on? Are they treating her for it? What's going on with Emma right now?
Yeah, so she has it's a benign brain tumor. It's actually the most common brain tumor in children. And she is currently going through chemotherapy because the brain tumor sits in her optic chasm.
Got
so
it.
If they were to operate, it could render her blind. So it's okay. considered an inoperable brain tumor, but it is benign. So it is not fast growing. It's not spreading.
Right.
But it is something that typically, you know, children have for the rest of their lives. And the goal is to shrink that tumor doing chemotherapy.
Okay. What's how is she responding? How's she doing now? How is her eyesight? How is the tumor? Is it shrinking?
It is. We yeah. found out in March, at the end of March,
yeah.
she had an MRI done, and we found out that she's responding really well to her treatment. And we give God really all the glory for that, because we know yeah. we have people all over, even the world, really,
yeah.
praying for her. And they told us at the beginning of all of this in December, when we started, well, we were supposed to start. That's a whole story in itself.
It is.
We were supposed to start chemotherapy. We really okay. didn't get started until February because of numerous things. But
right.
she's responding really well to treatment. And they said originally, after the first three months, that they wouldn't see very much change.
Okay.
And we didn't even get the full 3 months in, and they did a brain scan, and it turns out that it shrunk significantly.
Wow.
And that typically doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that had to be, like, super encouraging to you guys.
No doubt. Yeah, we're just in awe of God's power in her body and his faithfulness to helping us to walk through this process. You know, it's kind of crazy. You never want to be in a situation like this, but to see how the Lord has carried us as a family and our daughter through this season has been absolutely incredible.
You guys, you all shared with me the other day that the effect that the tumor has had on her eyesight is that basically in the center of her sight, there's kind of a black spot. And so her vision is kind of on the peripherals, according to what you've been told. But you had her do something the other day that was really positive. Could you share about that?
Yeah. After an Easter egg hunt, a friend of ours gave a toy to give to our daughter. And my parents were in town, and they were hanging out with Emma. And it was really cool because my dad was playing with Emma and kind of showing her the toy. And for the first time, she like reached out and with her eyes locked on that toy, went and grabbed for it. And that was really, really exciting because we hadn't seen her grab for anything specifically within eyesight before. So we were believing with faith that her sight's coming back. Whatever damage was there is being restored.
That is really great news. Now here, and we're continuing to pray, not only as your friend praying for Emma, and the Steve Noble Show listeners are praying for Emma Rose. She's a beautiful little girl. And she's got a rambunctious little brother. Man, that kid's got energy. Man, has he got energy.
And, yeah, he does.
He does. Man, he wore me out one night when I was watching him for your Ross while you were fixing something back at the church. And I'm like, oh my word, I am too old for watching a young man like that. But anyway, had a great time hanging out with him. But how have you two handled this? Because have there been moments where you've been like, okay, God, where are you in this? You know, have you been at peace? Have there been moments when you've not been at peace? I mean, how is this affecting you? Because, you know, sometimes what people think is that being a follower of Christ, it can appear that we're telling people there's no problems, right? But you two are followers of Christ. You're in the ministry. Ross, you're a pastor. So how has this affected you guys personally?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Truth be told, we've had our moments. You know, when we initially were faced with this situation, we sought the Lord immediately as we began to process the reality of the situation. And as we were stepping into it further, we definitely had moments where we asked God questions. You know, why us, why her, why not me, you know, all kinds of questions. But the cool part is, even in the middle of asking this question, we found peace. God's presence would surround us in moments as we were praying for our daughter and just asking Him to show us what the next move was and how to walk this thing out. And at each and every turn, with each and every question, we were answered with peace. Maybe not the details of the why and everything, but for sure we were met with peace, and we've allowed that to be the guiding light of how we would walk this thing out, understanding that He is faithful to His word, and her healing is on the way. In fact, it's in middle progress right now, and we're seeing that each and every day. And even with that, with those moments, you know, we would just allow the Lord to minister to us in those moments, and allow ourselves to be vulnerable for a minute and just say, okay, God, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to process this. And I think when we can find ourselves and allow ourselves to be vulnerable with God, those are some of the most powerful moments that we can walk through to see that He's real, that He does love us, that He does care about us, that He does understand the things that we're walking through, and that He's standing right there beside us through each and every one of those moments, and wants to grow us through those moments. You know, I don't think He necessarily brought this on our daughter, but has allowed this to happen for His glory, and so that His name will be lifted and magnified above each and every other name. Because at the end of this, she's going to be completely healed. We'll know, and we'll declare that it is because of the name of Jesus that she is healed.
If the two of you, if we have some listeners, and I'm sure they are, Ross and Jessica, that are going through a challenging season such as you're going through with your daughter, what would you say to them right now? What words of encouragement would you give them?
You know, for me, I would say, you know, someone asked me how have I handled all of this, and how have I got to this place of faith in my life? And my response to them was, you know, when all of this kind of unfolded,
Hey, Jessica,
definitely
hold that thought. Hold that thought. I'm going to bring you back for the second segment, the last segment, okay?
Okay, sounds
Stay
good.
Tuned. This is the Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. There's such His grace and how it's extended into our lives. I'll be your Bruce Lee. Is that the line in the song, Seth? I'll be your Bruce Lee. Wow. Man. Steve Noble really does have the best music. This is Chris Conlon for Steve Noble. We're talking about Erasing Grace today, and we're talking to a couple that have been, God's giving you a lot of grace to go through a challenging season, and they have a little girl named Emma Rose who's 9 months old and has a brain tumor that's affecting her eyesight. It's inoperable, but it's benign, and she's responding miraculously well to the treatments faster than they thought. And so we're really seeing God heal her. And the Steve Noble Show listeners, who, if you've been listening for a while, may remember praying for baby Emma. Well, this is baby Emma's parents. Ross and Jessica, you back with us?
We're still here.
All right. Hey, Jessica, I'm so sorry to cut you off, but I'd ask at the end of the last segment, hey, if somebody is listening, watching through Facebook Live, and they're going through a difficult season, right, where they're like, hey, why, God, why am I going through this? Because, you know, the scripture is filled with people who are going through suffering and difficulty, and they were right in the middle of God's will, right? It wasn't like they were out of His will. But you were trying to share, and I'm sorry that I had to jump in and cut you off because of the segment there, but if you don't mind picking that back up and speak some words of encouragement to those who may be going through a challenging season.
Yes, of course. I guess the biggest thing that I can say has really helped me walk through this season is don't forget to remember. Something that my father-in-law shared with me many years ago was to build memorials. He encouraged me to build memorials in my life when God's faithful, to write it down and to make a memorial of his faithfulness in my life. And so when this started happening, I definitely, you know, I had a lot of emotion. I had a lot of anger and pain, and I wasn't really angry at God. I was angry that this was happening. But I just felt like the Lord prompted me to remember and to go back and be very intentional about remembering just the places of faithfulness that he has shown up in my life with my salvation and with various other trials that I've walked through in the past. And, you know, when I go back and I am intentional about remembering, I'm not just vaguely recalling, but I go back and I remember what I felt, and I remember the pain, but I also remember how God brought good out of everything that was meant for evil in my life. I see how God worked it all together, and I can look back and see his faithfulness in all of it. And so as I look forward to the future with Emma and with what everything that's going on, I just feel like the Lord, you know, put that in my spirit. Don't forget to remember. Just remember my faithfulness. Remember all the times that I have worked all the other things that you have had to struggle through in your life for good.
Wow. Thank you. You know, the topic today I chose to speak about was erasing grace and how we're living in a culture, it seems like, that has lost the ability to overlook an offense and extend grace, you know, to one another, and how the church is the harbinger. But, you know, I was telling this the Facebook listeners when we were at the break that having you two on today in the midst of that topic is really interesting, because it occurred to me that it's not just God's grace for us to forgive, but the Word of God talks about God's grace to bring us through. And you think about what Paul cried out to the Lord to be healed, and the Lord spoke to him and said, "My grace is sufficient." Do you guys feel like God has given you grace for this season?
Absolutely. You know, like Jess was saying, there have been plenty of other things that we've walked through that have, I think, been training points in our walk to prepare us for this season. But if we didn't have the grace for the season, I don't believe we would be walking it out as well as we have been.
Yeah.
And it was, as much as it was a preparation of what the Lord had been doing in our lives, a choice to say, "All right, Lord, we need the grace for this season. We need your guidance for this season. We need to know that, like, there's hope beyond what the doctors are saying and the reports that are coming our way." And we made a choice to believe his word and trust his word. And I believe that as a family, when we made that choice, that was when the grace began to settle on our lives. And we could walk confidently knowing that there's hope at the end of the tunnel. Like, our daughter she's surrounded by prayer from all over the world. And she's going to be taken care of. And she's going to walk through this process and come out so much better on the other end.
Amen. Amen. Listen, let's do this, if it's okay, Ross. I'm gonna pray along with the Steve Noble Show listeners. And I think, am I hearing Emma or Sammy in the background? Who am I hearing?
That's Emma.
All right. Hey, could you ask her to be quiet? We're having a radio show here. I'm just kidding, Steve Noble Show listeners. I'm not serious. But hey, here's what I could do. Could I just pray along with the Steve Noble Show listeners for healing for Emma? And then Ross and Jessica, would you just pray, and we've got about 3-4 minutes here, just a brief prayer of God's grace for those who may be listening who are going through a difficult season themselves. Would you mind doing that?
Absolutely.
All right, so I'll pray, and then as soon as I'm done, you guys take over. Father, thank you so much that you are healing Emma Rose, and we thank you for healing baby Emma. And we thank you, Lord, for the fact that tumor is disappearing, is going to be gone, and you're going to restore her eyesight to fully functioning, those beautiful eyes of hers working properly. I thank you, Lord, for giving Pastor Ross and Jessica grace and peace and strength and joy in this season, your provision for all the needs medically. Father, I ask you, Lord, that as I've heard them share, that God is writing a story. I thank you, God, that this is a story of redemption and of restoration and of miracles. And I thank you, God, that your grace is sufficient for them. And we look forward to hearing increasingly better reports in the coming weeks and months as Emma is healed. In Jesus' name, Amen.
God, we just thank you for those who are listening online, or live on Facebook, and all the various places that this will go. And Lord, we just ask that you would be the comforter, Holy Spirit. Comfort those who are walking through difficult times, whether it be a single individual or a couple. God, there are all kinds of issues that people are facing that are financial, that are physical, or that are mental, Father. God, I pray that you would just bring about peace to each and every situation. Lord, I pray that as these folks just begin to seek after you, God, that they would, Lord, be surrounded by your presence and understand and know that you are there, God, that you understand, that you feel the same pains that they feel, God, and that you are walking with them through each and every situation. Lord, I pray that they would be not only guided by peace, but, Lord, that you would reveal to them each step that they should take, Lord, so that each one of these situations would come to its resolution. God, I pray that there would be a confidence in every step of the way. God, knowing that you are with them, knowing that you are guiding them, knowing that there is hope at the end of the tunnel. God, knowing that so long as they are seeking after the name of Jesus Christ, that no matter what storm that they face, when the time is right, Jesus will speak and the seas will calm, that there will be peace. We thank you, God, for each individual, Lord, each couple that's listening to this right now, and even in the future. God, we thank you. We thank you for loving on us. We thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for guiding us and teaching us. We thank you for just being God and being there for us. We give you honor, glory, and praise in each one of these situations. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you guys so much for your time. We're excited about that new campus opening with Cross Assembly in North Raleigh coming up in May. Thank you so much for the update with baby Emma. We love you guys. God bless you guys. Thanks for being on the show. Well, that was Pastor Ross and Jessica Verrett, and they're doing an awesome job as campus pastors. They have a newly launching campus coming up in May with Cross Assembly in North Raleigh up near 540 and Capitol Boulevard. Shameless plug if you're in the Raleigh area. You know, today we're talking about a race in grace, and Ross and Jessica are examples of grace and strength, right, in the midst of difficulties. But there's also the grace of forgiving others and communicating to others and communicating to others the grace that we've been given. You know, there's a statement in Philip Yancey's book, and it says, grace comes from outside as a gift and not an achievement. It is Christianity's best gift to the world, a spiritual nova in our midst, exerting a force stronger than vengeance, stronger than racism, stronger than hate. A spiritual nova in our midst, exerting a force stronger than vengeance, stronger than racism, stronger than hate. That's the grace of God. God's riches at Christ's expense. Why are we erasing grace in our culture? Because maybe a lot of cultures never received it. And we're called, as followers of Christ, to exemplify grace to a lost world. In Moses' prayer in Exodus 33 to the Lord that he would take the people into the promised land and that Moses could see God's face, when God speaks to him and he says he can, he says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. It is the very glory of God, the essence of who he is, to extend grace. Folks, we are the church. We are the followers of Christ. We are the harbingers of the gospel. And we are called to extend grace to others, to overlook an offense, and to exemplify grace in the midst of suffering. Remember, God's grace is sufficient.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.